Hello, Mama. Happy Friday to those of you listening live time. I know I am excited. It is Friday. I love Friday. I'm sure if you've been here for a minute, you've heard about me talk about pizza night. My husband and I make homemade pizza every Friday night and watch a movie. And there's just something about it. It's just so easy, so refreshing. Like, I look forward to it. So all that to say, I am excited for pizza night. I'm excited for the weekend. And it's like a kickoff to the weekend because my husband's home, you know. Yeah, it's just a good feeling. So I hope you have something you're looking forward to today as well, and you're excited for that weekend coming. Today, I especially hope today you're excited because we're talking about some heavier stuff. And, you know, we're going through the series, How to Suffer Well, and suffering alone is really heavy. And today we're going a little heavier even. And we're going to talk through just some of the mindsets that we can get stuck in when we are in a season of suffering. And today we're going to talk through if any of you are struggling with a victim mindset, feeling like you've been victimized and that's just the place you're staying in. Now, I'm not saying that there's not real horrible things that happen and real victims are created, that like those things are obviously real. But we can have this mindset where we just see everything through this filter of I'm a victim. And we're going to talk about more about what that looks like and kind of what to do with that. And I think in our culture today, this mindset is so prevalent. I know I fall into it sometimes. So I hope that, you know, even if you don't necessarily immediately see yourself in that, if you find yourself in a season of suffering, that you will just lean into this and just see what God might have to say to you. Because, you know, sometimes it's just like little ways that we think and act and we don't even realize it. It's these subtle little ways the enemy sneaks in. I'm excited. excited to go there because I know there's freedom that comes from talking about this stuff. So hope you're excited as well. Let's do it. Welcome to the Morning Mama Podcast, where it is time to wake up to the life you were created for. Come join me on a journey to heal from your past, craft a healthy, joy-filled life, and discover the gifts and passions inside of you that the world needs. Hi, I'm Brittany, a former marriage and family therapist who is ready to help you grab hold of your courage, step out in faith, and discover that your life can become more than you ever dreamed possible. This is Morning Mama, a place for you to throw off all that has been holding you back and run into true freedom. All right, Mama, before we dive in, if you are like me and you like to make progress, you like to get stuff done, you like to see tangible results in your life, you like to grow and see that growth and have tools to help you and bring in experts in things, that is what I love to do when I'm facing a problem, when I'm facing something that is frustrating, or I don't know how to get through it, or I feel stuck. I want like the best. I want to bring in the books and the tools and the resources. I want to do the reflection. I want to spend time diving into it all and knowing how to weed through it. And that is exactly why I created the Healed Mama Academy, is for people like me that want to do healing, but they like to like get their hands kind of messy in the process. Like they like to dive deep and spend time and energy pouring into this process and really kind of take their time diving into it. And all of you know I'm an advocate of therapy, absolutely. And there's always a place for that, but you know, there's also a place where sometimes we just need to really slow down and kind of look at these things on our own in some ways. And then, you know, we look at it with God on our own, and then we bring in outside perspectives and each other to help us see the broader picture of what's happening. And so that's what this whole academy is about. You have a workbook that you get to work through when you join, and it has lots of reflection questions and ways to help shift your mindset back to God's word. And it has video curriculum along with it, where I teach you all about restoration theory, which is a tool that you can use for the rest of your life to help walk you out of pain, to help walk you out of that old behavior of anger and anxiety that you're so sick of seeing. And I get to do it all with you as well. We meet weekly for group coaching, where you get to bring your problems and the stuck areas of your life live time. And I get to talk with you and know your story and know what's going on with you and work with you through it, as well as some amazing other women that are also on this journey of healing. So if that sounds like you, you're ready to like do the heavy lifting and invite God into all of the crevices of your life, then I would love to be in that with you. You can get all of the information at morningmama.co. That's morningmama.co. And yeah, I just look forward to our calls with the Academy girls every week. It's so cool to see God moving and what he does. And it's one of my favorite parts of my week. God is so great. So I hope you'll join us, morningmama.co. I hope to see you over there. And you can also just email me at support@morningmama.co for just with any questions you have, if you want to know more, or go to just morningmama.co and you can book a discovery call with me just to learn more and find out if your goals might align with the Academy. So hope to see you over there. Now, we are going to dive into the meat of what we're talking about. And we're talking about falling, like when we are in a season of suffering, the mentalities that we can take on that really stop us from suffering well. We've been talking about how suffering, while not God's plan A, is part of God's redemptive plan, because when we chose sin, we chose suffering. And now God uses suffering to remove the layers of sin and pride and shame and yuckiness from us, so that we can look more like him, so we can become new creations. And he does that through the process of suffering. And it sucks. It's not fun. No one likes to suffer. And I'm not trying to glamorize it and say like, it's amazing and you want this and you're going to pray for this. Like, no one's going to ever pray for this, but we are all going to find ourselves in these seasons. When there's the big stuff, right? Death, betrayal, heartbreak, diagnoses, like whatever that is. Those big things come, and then the little things come too. We've talked a lot about seasons of motherhood, where just in the midst of raising our kids, it just kind of entails a lot of suffering, right? We're trying to figure out the right thing. And in that process of trying to help these kids be healthy, we're discovering our own pain and we're trying to make the right choices for them. And then we mess up and we know that we're causing our kids pain, and that involves suffering. And then talk about like just taking care of them physically. Some of you might love that. That entails suffering, I think, for many of us, just the exhaustion of having littles and caring for them and being present 24/7 sometimes. And so there is level of suffering that is inherent to motherhood. And so wherever you find yourself, maybe it's one of the big things that we have to walk through as seasons of life. Maybe it's the small little things that stack up. All of it, this is all relevant no matter where you find yourself. All of that suffering God can use in your life. But if we don't do it well, if we don't grab a hold of it, allow God to do his work inside of us, then we're going to still have to suffer, but we're not going to reap the beautiful fruit that God wants to bring us through it. So today we're going to talk about one of the things that can stop us from suffering well and limiting the power that God might have in our lives to use this for good. And that is taking on a victim mindset. So here's how you might know if that's you. These are some of the kind of indicators. One of the things is if you are suffering, but you're bitter, right? You have this bitterness that you carry with you every day, all throughout life. Maybe it stemmed from suffering in your childhood, like some big trauma that you walked through, but it's created a bitterness inside of you. And that usually is an indicator that there's some victim mindset going on. Maybe it's that you're pointing the finger at everyone, right? You're stuck in blame. And maybe you have been a real victim of something, right? Of trauma, of betrayal, of whatever it is. Maybe you've been a real victim. However, it being a victim doesn't mean that we need to take on a victim mindset. We're gonna talk through that. But maybe you're in a place where you're just pointing the finger and everyone's at fault. Society's at fault. Your husband's at fault. Your church is at fault. No one's doing anything right, and everyone else is the problem. That can be an indicator that you're stuck in a victim mindset. maybe you are feeling sorry for yourself and you're just stuck in self-pity and you have this kind of woe is me attitude, and just kind of this belief that everyone is out to get me. And now it's okay to feel the sadness in ourselves and to even say like, whoa, that's like a lot that I've walked through, but that's different than just feeling sorry for ourselves and just being consumed with self-pity of like, everything's horrible and I can never climb out of this. And this is just awful what's been done to me. And it's so hard to like even say the phrases, right? Because some of that is real, right? Like some of that is the real processing and the real reality of like, yeah, you might be in a pit and yeah, that might horrible things might have been done to you. And that is all real. But when we take on that like just pity and we're just stuck in pity and we feel so sorry for ourselves in a way that we can't even work to climb out of the pit, right? Like if you imagine yourself in a pit and you're just feeling sorry for yourself, like you would sit on the ground in the dirt and you would just sit there, right? You might not even cry because you're just like, you're just stuck there. You're not going to do anything productive. You're just going to feel like that's how it is. That's how it's always going to be. Why even try? I'm just going to sit here and give up, right? And that can be from a victim mindset. Now the pit, it's not your fault that you're in the pit. Yeah, you need to feel sad you're in the pit. You need to feel the pain of the pit, but it doesn't mean we stay there, right? We need to start standing up and start getting to our feet and start praying for a way out and start trying to climb and dig and right. There's ways to get out. So if you're not trying to do some of those things, you might be in a victim mindset. Some other indicators is that you're looking at kind of like high level societal narratives that don't align with God's word. So some of these might sound like all men are womanizers, right? Or society doesn't even care about mothers, right? There's no support. People don't care. The church doesn't support people well, right? My church doesn't support people well. Like just these high level narratives that make these broad statements about groups of people or entities. And it's like this big, big picture. Now, I'm not saying the world is perfect, right? I'm not saying men are perfect. I'm not saying government's perfect. None of that is true. We live in a fallen and a broken world, but you know, and so we can recognize that and say, okay, I want to change this. And I wish this were different. And maybe that's something God's calling you to. But when we're just stuck in kind of seeing everything through that lens, and I've talked a lot about this in my marriage series of kind of like this mindset we've taken on as a culture about men and seeing them in this negative light. And a lot of us have inadvertently taken in little seeds of that, even if we don't adhere to the whole thing, right? And you know, you hear people talking, you're like, well, that's not me. Like, I don't see men as evil. But then you take in little seeds of that and you begin to see your husband through that lens of like, well, he doesn't even care. He doesn't even try. He just expects me to do all of this, but you haven't even asked him to do it, right? And so we talked a lot about that in our marriage series, and you can go back, I don't know, a couple months. You can scroll back, you'll see it. So I talk a lot about that specific to marriage, but that is kind of those victim mindsets that we can fall into. Right. And again, there might be real deficits. Like maybe there are things the church needs to do better. And I'm sure there are. The church is made up of broken people, a bunch of sinners coming together to gather. Right. So it's not going to be perfect. And there's going to be real deficits. There's going to be lots of things that are wrong because it's the result of sin and brokenness. But when we just paint these broad strokes and generalize, that creates this victim mindset that we get stuck in. Another kind of indicator of a victim mindset is that you're taking no ownership for your choices. So you might be in a situation and you have been wronged, right? Like maybe you have been betrayed, but like, say, for example, going back to the marriage, right? Say you've been betrayed in your marriage, but, and while that is fully on him, how are you also taking ownership for the fact that maybe you saw red flags in him and maybe you didn't follow God's way of getting married, and all of this is coming out now, and you're feeling like this victim in all of this, and how could men be like this? Okay, but what choices did you make that may have led you to this place? again, we got to be really careful here because I'm not saying it's your fault, someone else's sin. However, we do need to have clear eyes to see what we are doing to contribute to the problem of getting to that place, because we might then blame God, right? Like, how could God let me be with this person? But the thing is that, like, you may have made choices. Now, that this is not true for everyone, but it's possible that you made choices that were not in alignment with what God was saying, not in alignment with his word. You closed your eyes to certain things, and now you find yourself in a scenario and you blame God for it in this victim mentality. How could God do this to me? But actually, you made choices to lead you to this place. And then, of course, other people made bad choices that hurt you. And that is not your fault. Not your fault. Not your fault. I want to be really careful here, because I also do not want you to take on shame and ownership for other people's mistakes. That's absolutely not what we're talking about here. However, we do need to see clearly, like, the choices we've made. Another example, and this is kind of an even harder one in some respects, is motherhood. Right? It's so easy to feel like a victim in motherhood. Like, I have no help. This is so hard. How is this all happening? I can't believe, like, this is where I'm at. And, like, we feel victimized by our husbands. We feel victimized by society. We feel victimized by, you know, fill in the blank. But how many of us, like, prayed for these children? How many of us longed for this season, right? We have willingly, most of us, chosen this. We wanted this. So here we are. God has answered our prayers. And then we're feeling like a victim in this. And this is why we're talking about this mindset, because it is so pervasive. And that's why I said, like, I know I struggle with this at times. Like, it sneaks in the littlest of ways. And so I know I'm not alone in this. Like, and I did pray for my children, and I still do feel like a victim to this season sometimes. So we've got to talk about it, because, like, those feelings you have are real. The feelings of suffering are real. And we need to look at those. Just like I talked about in the last episode, we have to acknowledge the suffering and process the suffering, no matter how small it is. It's real. And we've got to feel it and look at it and let it do its work inside of us. But we don't need to point the finger. We don't need to, just feel stuck in that. In order to do it well, in order to reap that fruit from the suffering, we've got to see it through the lens of what God says and not what the world says, right? The world says you're a victim. It does. Like, it says that you are a victim of society. It says you are a victim of your upbringing. It says you're a victim of, because you're a woman, you're a victim, right? Like, there's all of these narratives that are being painted. Now, there's seeds of truth in some of that, right? Like, there has been victimization, right? Again, we have to be so careful here. I don't want to say, like, no oppression exists. I don't want to say, like, there's no real things that people have to walk through. However, taking on that victim mindset and labeling ourselves as a victim and seeing ourselves through that lens, that is not God's way. That's not God's plan. That's not God's desire for you. So let's dive into that. And if you're struggling with this, just stick with me and hear what the Bible says about this, because I know this is a challenging topic. But, you know, when I was sitting down to try and, like, prepare for this, I was just thinking through this, because I didn't even... Initially, I just wanted to kind of encourage you and be like, no, this is not God's way. But as I dug into scripture, I just had this realization, like, you know, the ultimate victim, right? If we're to look at victims, because we are victim of things, but the ultimate victim is Jesus, right? Like, Jesus literally was perfect. He did not once sin. He did not once hurt someone. He did not once make a bad choice. He did not once do something wrong. And yet he was beaten and killed for no reason, right? No reason that makes real sense, right? And so if we talk about a victim, like, Jesus is the ultimate victim. So we can look to him to understand, like, how do we make sense of this when we are victimized? How do we see things when people do wrong to us, or even just when sin through the world impacts us through sickness and disease and world disasters, right? You name it. And so I think we've got to start by looking at Jesus, because when you look at his life, I want you to think through this. Like, did Jesus ever sound like a victim? Did he ever say like, oh, I'm just this way because society, and they don't get it, and they, you know, like woe is me, self-pity, I am just, these people are horrible, right? No. We know that. Did he ever point the finger and say, I just can't even do what I'm here to do because these people, they just keep stopping me and they don't get it and they're against me and they're not listening to me and they're seeing me in the wrong light, right? Like, we know that's not how Jesus sounded. That's not even close to any of the words that he ever uttered. And I know I'm making light of it because we have to kind of exaggerate the truth to help us see the lies that are in it. And so if you've been struggling with a victim mindset and maybe you can see yourself in some of this, like, there is no shame, there is no condemnation. I want to just help you step into freedom. I want to help you suffer well so that the suffering that you're already in is going to produce fruit and you're not just going through it for no reason. So I am on your side. I am with you. I have been there in that victim mindset and I get it, but I want to help you see the other side of it. Right? So Jesus didn't sound ever like a victim. He never talked like a victim. What he did was he submitted. He submitted to what was. He submitted to what was coming, right? Can you imagine like being taken to jail knowing you did not do something right? Or can you imagine being taken to jail, like wrongfully accused for something, and you're taken and your freedom is stripped from you and your life is stripped from you and your dignity is stripped from you and then they beat you and they torture you and ultimately kill you, right? And in the midst of that, can you imagine like just submitting to the process, right? Like the world would be like, heck no, like I am not having this. This is just wrong, right? And it is wrong, right? And I'm not saying we don't need to fight for justice in different ways, but Jesus submitted to the process. He didn't fight against it, right? And this surrender was painful. And he, you know, and not to make light of this, because he struggled with this. Like if you read in the Garden of Gethsemane, is that how you say it? Gethsemane? Yeah. I've never said that out loud. Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah, I don't know. Before he went onto the cross, you know, part of him did not want to go onto the cross and die. Part of him wanted to rebel. Part of him wanted to fight back. Part of him wanted to be injustice, right? And to not be wrongly murdered. But he submitted that part of him and submitted it to God and cried out to God and said, God, if you can take this cup from me, do it, right? Like he was honest. And it said he sweated blood. Like that's the agony that he was in as he was trying to submit to this thing that he knew he was about to enter. But he did it. And not only did he do it, but he had no amount of bitterness at those who were torturing him, right? He wasn't yelling or angry or fighting them off, right? Can you imagine being in that place? Like, I would be punching people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would be kicking and screaming and trying to get them off of me. And not to say like if some, you know, yeah, you fight back. But like, why, how did he do this? I would be filled with so much anger. And yet he freely submitted. He was the ultimate victim, and yet he did not accept that title. I love this verse in Hebrews 12. This is verses 2-4 in the ESV version. And it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who was for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you know, when I was reading this, like I had read this before, and when I read part of it, you know, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. And so, you know, the first thing I think about is my sin, right? I haven't resisted sinning to the point of, like, you know, I'm shedding blood. But actually, I think this is like looking at your struggle against people that have sinned against you, because that's what it's talking about, right? Jesus didn't sin, so he doesn't have sin here. This is talking about the sin he bore on himself, the sin he received as he submitted to the cross, right? So when people wrong us, right? When we are hurt by people and it is absolutely awful, right? When the sin that has come into the world and caused sickness and disease, when it brings a diagnosis and it brings the heavy stuff, right? We have not yet resisted it to the point of shedding our blood. And consider, I love this too, about consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Like, he walked in such humility that these people that were full of sin, and he was perfect and blameless, he allowed them to accuse him and beat him and kill him, right? He submitted to that. So when we think about what we're walking through, it's not that the pain isn't real. It's not that you're not a victim. It's not that people haven't done wrong. Like, all of that is real, but we don't take on that mindset, because what that mindset does is it leaves you in the pit, right? If you're a victim, you're going to sit in the pit, or you're going to be so angry, right? It's keeping you trapped inside of the suffering, because living as a victim means that you're living stuck in what's been wrong, what's the wrong that has been done against you, right? It's labeling yourself as, I am a victim of this. It's bearing it on your back. But what God says is different, right? What God says is that we don't have to stay there, that we feel it, and we process it, and we suffer with Christ, and Jesus already took the ultimate suffering, so we don't have to bear that alone, but we suffer with him. And in that, he allows us to be made more beautiful, right? He gets rid of the junk that is inside of us. He uses it to help us find healing. Ultimately, like, we do need to be healed from the new moment that is coming, but sometimes wading through that and healing that moment heals the past, and it heals what happened before. And God has this beautiful, intricate story he's weaving inside of each of us. And so a victim mindset stops us from allowing the work that God wants to do inside of us. And ultimately, we are all victim of sin, right? That is real. But we're not just a victim of sin, we're the perpetrator of it, right? It's both sides. And so God's redemptive plan is that he is going to take the victim and the victimizer and redeem it in a beautiful story. And so if we get stuck just seeing ourselves as this victim and pointing the fingers and taking on bitterness and being trapped ultimately in the suffering, we're going to suffer for longer and we're not going to bear any kind of fruit. So I hope like, it sounds so dramatic, but comparing what you're walking through to what Jesus did and trying to replicate what he did in your life so that you can receive the suffering in a way that allows you to grow. And so this is just what I encouragement for you if you find yourself in this. First of all, if there are parts that you have done about this, like choices you have made, like deciding to become a mother, take ownership for that. Own that. And maybe it was bad choices. Becoming a mother is usually a good choice, but maybe it was bad choices you made. And so maybe you're going to have to forgive yourself in the midst of that. Maybe you're going to have to allow yourself that grace. But take ownership. Start there. See what part in all of this you might play, right? Maybe you're being your life is being ravaged by other people talking behind your back and there's rumors going around. But have you participated in gossip? Did you open the door to that in your life? Did you talk about other people, right? Has there ever been a part of this that was you? And maybe not. But you got to start there. If there's any part of your story that is your fault, and you've got to do this work with God and probably bring in a trusted friend that can help you with this, because you don't want to take on something that shouldn't be yours. We're not trying to take on the sin of others as our own. We just need to look at honestly, like, what part did we have in this? Because if we don't start there, we can't make better choices going forward. We have to first own our mistakes and our choices. And then from there, we can have ownership of our lives and change them if needed, or like in motherhood, right? Take ownership and be like, yeah, I chose this. I chose this suffering and it is going to rock my life. It definitely rocks our life, but it's going to rock like the inside of me. It's going to change me. It's going to transform me. And I'm owning that. Instead of being bitter and angry at society and angry that I have to go through this, I'm going to own it. I am a mother and I'm being transformed right now. I am in a long season of suffering and God is using it for my good, right? See, that's what ownership looks like, right? We get to take that on and get to run with it. Like, how exciting is that to own that? Like, yeah, it is hard and that is good. So we got to start there. The next thing is to stop with the narratives that you're a victim. So find those like kind of big grandiose narratives, like the labels you put over groups of people or parts of the world or whatever that is, like meaning like government or whatever it is, and make sure you're not adhering to that, and that those can be so sneaky again because culture's screaming a lot of those at us. So we have to be really careful to pay attention to where those might be coming in. Another encouragement to you is just to remember, pain is a result of a fallen world and sin. So we've got to remember that. Like, that is ultimately where pain comes from. That's where sin comes from. We're a part of a fallen world. And so that is going to come into our lives. Now, the beautiful thing about this that I keep talking about is that God wants to redeem it all. God wants to redeem every bit of it and make it beautiful if we allow him. So when you're struggling through a situation, remember this is a result of sin and God doesn't leave us there, but he's going to redeem it. But I have to let him. And then the last part is just tagging onto that is think through how God might want to redeem that. He didn't cause this in your life, this bad thing that happened. God has not caused it, but he wants to use it. So how might he want to do that? And start thinking through that, because that like sheds some hope in a time where there might be a lot of darkness, in a time where there might be a lot of despair. It brings that glimmer of hope, that glimmer of like what could come, the glimmer of the good. And so you want to start thinking about that and praying about that. And as you submit your suffering to God and you submit and surrender what you're feeling and what you're going through and what the season is, God's going to begin shedding light on that and begin redeeming it in the midst of that and begin revealing what that beautiful thing he wants to create might look like. And that, I mean, that's my favorite part. I love the redemption. That's why I'm here. You know, that is why I'm here. So let me just pray for you. I hope that God will just continue to speak to you about this and just help you walk through this. I know it's a longer, more complicated process sometimes to get to shed off these old layers, but I hope this just helps you begin that journey. Dear Jesus, we just thank you, God, that you have made us more than conquerors. God, you have called us your kids, God, and your kids are not victims. God, we will not remain with this victim title over our lives. God, we will not remain with our eyes focused on how we've been victimized. God, we will not remain under this umbrella of being a victim, God, but we are going to recognize the pain, God, and feel the pain and be angry at the pain and angry at the situation, God, and feel the hurt, God, but we're not going to stay there, God. We're going to see it through your eyes. God, let us have the courage and the strength to submit, God, to your way and to the suffering, God, that is in our life right now, God. And I just pray, God, that you would just help everyone struggling with this victim mindset. God, would you just give her, God, the courage to see that gotten the courage to change it, Lord. And I just pray for supernatural healing with these mindsets, Lord, that you would just come in so quickly, even for these mindsets that have been poured into us again and again by culture, God. I pray you would just take those away, God. And I just pray for redemption, God. You would help us to begin to see, God, the redemption you want to bring out of this suffering, God. I just thank you, God, for your plan for redeeming suffering, God, that you're going to use it for fruit in our life, God. And I just pray we could submit fully to that, God. Thank you that we can trust you with this process, God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, Mama. If you found hope and inspiration in today's episode, then hit subscribe. Make sure you don't miss a moment on this journey of healing. Want to help more mamas enter into the hope and freedom you have found? Please take a moment to leave a review. This helps so much to get Morning Mama seen so that more mamas can find this space. Lastly, please come say hi in our Facebook group, Morning Mama Collective. I would love to meet you and learn your story. Let me know where you're getting stuck in your healing journey so that you can help inspire more episodes. I am so grateful for you, Mama, and I cannot wait to see all that God has in store for you.